Welcome to SaaS Theory Podcast, a place for microlearning and talks about growth practices and SaaS trends. Today we're joined by Natalie Marcotullo, Head of Growth and Operations at Navatic. Good morning, Natalie. I'm very happy to have you on my show.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Victoria.
Let's start this conversation by talking about Navatic first. Could you tell me more about it?
Yeah, so Navatic is an interactive demo platform. So what that means is basically we allow you to give your prospects hands-on experience earlier in the buyer cycle. So rather than having to log into a free trial or talk to a salesperson, you could actually get hands-on in an environment that's all filled out with data on your own time.
Okay, so to clarify this a little bit, you developed a tool that helps SaaS or other companies to develop interactive demos or product tours, because I've seen this notion is also used. But can you tell me more about what is an interactive demo and how exactly they're different from testing a SaaS product via free trial or free plans?
Yeah, so we often hear from customers that, you know, a free trial requires some sort of setup, right? I was actually a customer of Navatic before joining the team, and the product that I was at beforehand, it was a CRM platform, and you had to like import all your data to see any value. And we found a lot of our customers struggled because it was a kind of a lengthier setup process. They hadn't been familiar with doing that process before. Maybe they didn't want to import their personal data into a platform from just testing it. So most people, when they got into a logged in empty screen and didn't see any data in it, and then didn't want to import their own data, they didn't really see the value. So the main difference is you can see immediate value without having to do any work.
And usually this is only for product-led companies, or sales-led companies also can use this type of demos?
Yeah, we've actually run the data and find that we have a little bit more majority sales-led company than product-led, but it really both work. For product, if you're sales-led, this is a way to sort of take a baby step into going product-led, right? Like if you don't maybe have the engineering resources, or maybe your product's a little complex and you don't think a free trial would be successful, this is a way to still give your prospects hand-on access. And then if you are product-led, maybe still, though, your free trial takes a little longer to set up, or even you want to use this as onboarding support during your free trial to make sure the more activated, knowledgeable users. We've seen that use case as well.
Now, we know that successful SaaS companies are dog fooding, or how it's called this term, dog feeding. They're using their own product internally. And actually, I love how the founder and CEO, the founder of Miro, Andrei Husid, says that instead of dog food, they use the term drinking your own champagne, because it sounds better. And I was very curious to know if Navatic is using, I've seen on the Navatic page that you are using interactive demos. I mean, you as a company are using your own tool, but I'm very interested in knowing how you're evaluating the impact of this interactive demo for your company, and if this helps you in terms of growth.
Yeah, we're using it a few different ways, and you called out specifically like the website. So we do have it on our website. It's one of the first things you see when you get onto our website is a big interactive demo of Navatic. We have both an example demonstration of Google Analytics, so you could see, you know, what is an example demo built out? And then we also have a demo of Navatic built using Navatic. But we use them a few other places as well beyond just the website. A big one is sales enablement. So if we want to show off integrations, if we want to show off a more in-depth product tour of Navatic or specific features, we have tours built out for all those use cases, as well as, and this is a little specific to us, but we use it a lot in outbounding, which we have seen our customers use as well. What's great for us is if a company that we're trying to get in contact with has a free trial, we've actually built out product demos for them, like of their product itself. And be like, oh, hey, this is a little demo to show you what it would look like if you use Navatic. That's been pretty successful. But for most companies, we've also seen them just creating these short little demos and linking them in outbound emails. And they've also seen a lot of success from that. And the last place I'd want to call out, and this is definitely more of an edge use case, but something that I'm just getting excited about, is using it in our blog content. So we recently released this interview series where we talk about website design best practices. And we have all of our guests show one of their favorite websites. What we've done is actually create a little interactive demo of a website, kind of calling out some of the highlights or reasons why it was our guest's favorite. So then rather than just like reading or watching the interview, they could also sort of interact with it directly. So just thinking of fun ways to engage the product within throughout all of our content marketing.
That's actually huge, because if you're writing an article, for example, about a new feature, introducing a new feature, or talking more about a product, about your product, you can easily use interactive demo. And instead of those, you know, screenshots that are static, that people can't do anything with them, just see the arrows and everything, what it means. But these interactive demos can definitely help them visualize much better the value the product can offer.
Exactly. We've actually seen some customers using it in like help documentation. As you mentioned, instead of screenshots with arrows, they'll have the option to also do a little interactive demo to walk you through how to do a feature.
Now, apart from these interactive demos, you've mentioned that you're using the interactive demos in your outbound strategy, and you are actually building personalized demos for the prospects. But also on your website, I saw that you're offering a free demo build. I mean, people have to request a free demo build. Can you tell me more about this practice and what's your success with it?
Yeah, so this is something we just started experimenting with. So numbers, we don't have any like firm numbers yet, but basically we were already doing this organically, as I mentioned. We were sending it to prospects in outbound emails. We're also doing it in the sales process. So we find a lot of our customers, they want a way to get hands-on during the sales process, which is exactly, you know, why we exist. But a few of them, you know, we'll give them a free trial, and you know, everyone's busy with their own job, right? Like everyone has things to do beyond just use your product when trying out the evaluation process. So one thing we've offered and really seen customers appreciate instead is we'll say, hey, rather than giving you a free trial where you have to do work for 14 days and it delays our sales process for 14 days, we'll just build the demo for you that you can share with other other internal team members, so they can see the value itself and you can see, does it work for your product? And teams are often really excited by this because, again, it means that they don't have to put in necessarily the legwork just to get that proof of concept. And then on our end, you know, we can build out one of these demos in 30 minutes at this point, if not less. So if, rather than a 14-day free trial, it's a 30-day demo build.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of website visitors, for example, because you have it on the website and you can use it as a lead generation tool, do you see any results with it?
Yeah, so like I said, it's... Sorry, I'm waiting a second for a very loud fire truck.
No problem. Life happens.
Almost dead. So we did just put on the website. We've seen a few people engage with it so far. I am trying to figure out still, is it the correct spot to live on the website? Is it a little too down funnel? Should it be somewhere else on the website? So all just things we're still experimenting with. But we have seen a few people reach out so far, say they want a demo build. It's a bit hard of a process to explain, not over in person, over text, so that's something we're still working on.
Got it. Now, if we go back in time, I know that you didn't start immediately with Navatic, but I'm still very curious to know, what was one of the most impactful growth practices Navatic deployed to attract or to drive their first customers?
Yeah, so one thing that we're pretty lucky with Navatic is it's a pretty viral tool. Like if anyone sees an interactive demo on a prospect's website, and they have a good experience with it, they might say, oh, hey, I want that. And we actually see that pretty frequently. We have the how did you hear about us form, and we get a lot of people saying, you know, this specific product tour or on this person's website, this company's website. So I think one thing that our founding team was really smart about is they made some strategic partnerships with some bigger companies, some more well-known startups. And once they got the demo out on those startups, it was able to just attract a lot of other people in the space. So I think for us, as I said, being really smart about those first few customers, maybe being a little more flexible, offering like a really hands-on experience, because that not only did they have a good process and they recommend us to people, but then when they have this beautiful product tour on their website, all of their prospects are also seeing it.
Got it. So it's basically it's the virality of the product.
Yeah.
Yeah, the viral rate. Now, you've recently published a research report called The State of Product Demo. And that's awesome because more and more SaaS companies work on becoming the single source of truth or the go-to knowledge center of the industry by publishing research-based content. Like, we're moving from opinion-based, fluff-based content to research, well-detailed content. Could you tell me more about the ways in which you've conducted the original research and the results you've achieved with it? And in terms of results, I mean, did you notice more, an increase in organic traffic, or maybe other companies mentioned your research with backlinks? What's your experience with that?
Yeah, so I can talk a little more about the process and then the results.
Yeah.
As far as process, we were very lucky. We were working with the Pre-Sales Collective, which they are a group of solution engineers, all focused around educating just this about the pre-sales environment. And they're an awesome group. They have a really dedicated, I guess, like member base. So what we did is we create a list of interview questions, and they put it out to their group and asked them to answer these questions. And then we compiled the results, worked with an awesome designer to then create that report. But what was so great was, since we worked with this community, we were also then able to, you know, share with the community, share it beyond, and they were very excited to see the results since they participated in the interview itself. And I think for them too, pre-sales is a group that they don't really have much data, right? Like if anyone's thinking about creating a report, creating a state of, like, you know, state of the X report, there is a lot of data in marketing right now. We're pretty lucky. We found a group that has been sort of ignored for these reports. So they were very thankful to say, like, someone's finally giving us data around this. And what was so interesting is we had a mix of qualitative and quantitative, and the quantitative data really matched the qualitative. Like, the demos were way too long. We found it took, on average, at least 3 days, if not more, like 3 to 5 days, just to go from when you request the demo to first having that first meeting. And more often than not, that first meeting is a discovery call. It's not even demo. And when you listen to the voices of the community, they were saying, you know, prospects are frustrated, they're annoyed about the length, they want shorter demos, they want hands-on access. So it's a real disconnect between, you know, what prospects want, what prospects want, and what the community is seeing is in one bucket over here, and then the actual sales practices. So we're hoping that this could be something that the leader or the community members could use to go to their leadership teams and say, like, hey, there's actual data now supporting what we're saying. Like, prospects don't like these practices. They want shorter demos. And I think as far as results, the best things we saw, beyond just, like, traffic increases and all that, was the fact that we had people posting this to LinkedIn, commenting, you know, I'm going to share this with my leadership team now. When we post to LinkedIn, I think the best thing you can see as a marketer is when someone mentions someone else, getting a few of those. So that was just really exciting to see the positive reaction and the fact that people were saying, you know, I'm going to use this internally. Like, this is something that will actually help me at my job.
You've actually revealed another great practice SaaS companies can deploy when creating research-based content is using the information that they've generated and the research data for their outbound strategy, because they're sending their prospects not only some, you know, fluff, salesy, peachy content, but they're also backing this with real data that they generated through the research they've conducted.
Yeah, we made sure to also repurpose it in a few different ways, as you mentioned, like mentioning it in a few emails, mentioning the data itself, but also like blog posts, videos, all podcasts. Really, that was also a way that we saw a lot of success for this, was like, how can we then take this data, chop it up into smaller bits and send it across the internet?
Got it. And finally, could you share with us a secret growth practice you're using at Navatic?
Yeah, so this is going to be, I think, a little different than a traditional growth practice. But as far as my job and what some of the most influential things I'm doing, I think this would have to be one. There's a lot of talk right now about hiring and subject matter expert. And I'm pretty lucky. We sell to marketers. I've been in B2B SaaS most of my career, try to like attend as many events and webinars, all that as possible. So I did decently knowledge at this point about B2B SaaS and the trends. And so one thing that we offer to customers, especially maybe some of our startup customers who are newer, is if any of them want to chat through like general growth strategies, CRM strategies, I'm a huge HubSpot nerd. If they want to have integration set up, I will walk customers through our integrations with Navatic ourselves, because we do that. And that's just been a great way for me to get FaceTime with customers. I think every growth marketing expert knows how valuable it is to speak with customers. But on the flip side, we're not just asking them to sit down and take 30 minutes of their time to speak with me. I think every marketer's also gone through where they like talk to their CSMs, like, hey, I really want to speak with some customers. Who should I speak to? the CSM goes, you know, there'll be some great people, but we've just bothered them for 10 other things. I don't really want to bother them right now again. So if you can find a way to be a subject matter expert in your space, or maybe just hire one, right, and offer them one-on-one consultations with that expert and just sit in on the session, that's a great way for both parties to get value. And at the same time, you know, you're showing more that you're a thought leader in the space, that you are knowledgeable. And then on the flip side, you're getting really valuable customer insights. And I use those insights when I'm planning content, when I'm doing ad strategy, when I'm writing copy. Like, I can't say enough how much that helps fuel my marketing.
But how this looks in practice? I mean, you're sending like an email or a message saying that we can give you a consultancy session, or how this goes?
Yeah, sometimes it's the strategy session around, like, let's just talk about growth best practices. What are we seeing? What's working well for us? What's working well for you? And then we've also done more technical things, like I've walked through the Nevada HubSpot integration and helped set them up a dashboard. Or we've just talked through HubSpot in general and set up dashboards. So really whatever would be most useful for them. And if I have only things that I have knowledge and expertise on, but I'd be willing to jump on a call and talk to them about.
This makes me think about Privy. It's an e-commerce SaaS company. And instead of demos, they're offering one-on-one consultancy on specific topics. Plus, they're showcasing the product. And people can just register on the website and request for a consultancy session.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times before, the like request to consultancy. I think for us, like, we want to first establish trust. And so that's why we do it more for customers. But maybe eventually we think about expanding on, like, again, if it could be an area of true help, thinking if there's a way that we could also do that for prospects.
Well, that was it for today. Natalie, thank you very much for your time and for sharing Novatik's secrets. I'm sure our audience will learn a lot from this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Victoria.
Thank you all for listening until the end. Wish you a great morning, day, afternoon, or evening. Till next time.